Now, on December 15th last, Ireland lost one of the greatest footballers and athletes of our time. The sudden death of Paddy O'Shea shocked the nation. In his footballing career, he played in 10 All-Ireland finals, winning 8. To add to his collection of silverware, he also won 11 Munster Football Championships, 4 National League titles, 4 Railway Cups, 5 All-Stars and 2 County Senior Championships. But his notoriety and popularity as a character meant that his death was felt way beyond sporting circles. With Paddy O'Shea, what you saw was what you got, and in anybody's book, that's a commendable trait. On a beautiful spring morning just a few short years ago, I spent some very enjoyable time with him in his beloved home in Ardavohr in Ventry in West Kerry. This evening, we look back on that conversation.
That's right, John. We are here in Ardavohr. You know, it is a beautiful day here, a beautiful morning, and it is very easy for me to explain to you, you know, growing up in Ventry in Ardavohr in the 60s, what it meant. I suppose you'd have to say here in the cross as you see it now, you know, you have, well, obviously the pub wasn't there then. It was just a green field with two characters there, Pat Sheen Kevan and Pat Kane, living in the field there across the road where we have the pub now. And then across the road, you have the grocery shop, and then across the road again in the other corner, what was known then as Paddy Fitz's, one of the two houses. But that's where I was brought up, and I suppose in this side of the parish at that time, this was the focal point really. And it was a place which would be very dear to me for a few reasons. It was the meeting place at that time for the characters of this side of the parish. You know, we have a few parishes at little villages close to here in Ardavohr, where we have the village of Keeleragh, we have the village of Cahar Trant and Raheens, and then we have Cahar Bullig and Ballantlay, and then further back we have, on the way to Slayhead, we have Kilvickadownig and Fawn. But on Mondays, especially after the weekend, local characters would gather, and just mentioning but a few, you'd have Peter Garvey, you'd have Morris Hoare, you'd have Joe Shea, and simple things that time amused them. And I was very, very young at the time, what would I be, in 5 or 6, 7, but I would have a photographic memories of those evenings where they would congregate there, as they called it, at Paddy Fitz's Gable. Things that that they did to amuse themselves, that wear down the night, you know. They played pitch and toss, played horseshoes. Maybe somebody would have a newspaper, and the best reader of the newspaper all the time, most of the time, was Peter Garvey. He would read and different aspects of worldwide things that happened, news, worldwide news, and stuff that would happen, you know, topical things that would be in the papers after the weekend, and that he would read it out to us all. And
does it sadden you that that sort of thing is more or less gone now?
Well, it does, obviously, for reasons you know, that are passing of new trends in lifestyles. You know, you have transportation now. You have in every house now, you have at least one car. Sometimes you might have two cars. Some places you'd have two cars, so people can, driving from A to B now is not a problem anymore. I suppose you have way more activities in the pubs as a result of that. You know, the outdoor bahanthicht, I suppose, is no longer a runner, and then that's, you know, as I say, that's a fact of life, really. But for me, growing up, it was great to experience those great occasions.
As you will gather, this turned out to be a conversation not so much about Paddy O'Shea's sporting career, but about loving and belonging to a place. And Paddy O'Shea belonged to West Kerry, and West Kerry belonged to him.
I don't think I would want to live any other where other than where I am at the moment. I've no doubt in my mind, actually, that I wouldn't want to live any other where. And, you know, Vintry is magnificent, obviously. It goes from being extremely busy during the summer months to being very, very peaceful and quiet during the winter.
And where you went to school, that's close by as well, is it?
Yeah, well, we went to school. We'll visit that now shortly. Obviously, as well, John, any activities, we have the church here and we're in the churchyard at the moment. And I mean, there were, you know, I was one of the altar boys who were growing up to. I spent my term as an altar boy here in the church. I had the great honour of serving Mass for Cardinal Tommaso Fiuk, God rest his soul. He was then very, very friendly with our Monsignor O'Fianacht in Dingle. Monsignor O'Fianacht was in Maynooth as a lecturer and was very, very friendly with Tommaso Fiuk. So Tommaso Fiuk holiday down here in Vintry, and I got the opportunity of serving Mass for him on a good few occasions, and that was a great experience. So, I mean, then we had the Holy Hour on Sunday nights at the end of Sunday, at the end of every month. That was an occasion. And then, of course, we had the missions. We had a mission here and we had our missioners, and we had, you know, a big situation. Then, of course, was the stall and the different things that you could buy from the stall that the missionaries carried with them. And
the medals and the scapulars.
The medals and the scapulars, and in the night that they were, all of them would be blessed. And I suppose it's a pity then that I wasn't a little bit older to appreciate some of the sermons that were being given from the pulpit about how these single, strong Vintrymen should be living and behaving themselves. I missed all of that, and I wasn't. Maybe I would have benefited a bit from it if I was a bit older, John. But we'll leave that for another day.
Beautiful Reels played by Joe Burke with Charlie Lennon. It's Where the Road Takes Me on C103, the very first programme of 2013. This evening I look back in tribute to a beautiful morning in Ardivoher, Vintry in West Kerry, spent in reflective conversation with Kerry football legend, the late Paddy O'Shea, who died suddenly on December 15th.
Getting back to the shop, John, as well, that was very, very important at that time, because it was a kind of a shop for all seasons. My parents ran the shop and ran it very well. We did also have the luxury during that period of having the parish of Dunquin, farmers from Dunquin, coming to the creamery inventory. There wasn't a creamery at that time in Dunquin, and that was very good for business. You know, we had creamery in the local creamery three days at least a week. So having the parish of Dunquin joining up with Ventry, it meant extra business for the shop. And I mean, in the shop those days, you were able to buy crow beans, pig's heads, you were able to buy a pike, a shovel, anything that a farmer would need in the day-to-day life of running of a farm, you could buy it in the shop and avoid going to Dingle. And horseshoes, anything that you could wish to think for that would be a necessity in a farm. Paint brushes, oil, farm meals, all of that was available in the shop, readily available. And I mean, they worked, my parents worked unbelievable hours with having a small farm of milking 8 cows and having pigs and having a share of dry cattle, and ran a shop as well. I mean, they managed to make a very, 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 very good living out of it.
And did they sell all those things that you mentioned over there?
Every single item that I've mentioned was available in the shop during that time, yes. You know, it was, for that alone, you know, for the likes of me, it was a great education seeing all of that happening, and there was never a dull moment in the cross, because you had so much people visiting the shop and coming and going, and every day and every night.
In days gone by, all small rural shops were a hive of activity, and O'Shea's shop in Ventry was no exception, particularly at Christmas time.
Christmas was a very important time as well, where they bought Santy for Christmas, and you know, big Christmas orders. In advance of that, you'd have your orders for the Christmas brack and the Christmas butter loaf. All of those were ordered in advance. And then, of course, at that time as well, I think, John, the pony and trap was a very, very... that was a form of transportation that was used by lots of farmers and families coming to the... And they used Paddy Fitz's yard as a place for keeping the pony and untackling the pony from the trap during Mass. And a lot of farmers, you know, were very proud, and always there was a shine of the pony, and the brass that was in the trap was shined, and, you know, it was really, really comfort. That was something I think that I can just barely remember, but I can certainly remember it, and I mean, those were great times.
And I presume the shop was never officially closed. You always had people calling, I presume.
Well, you always had people calling, and, you know, being in bed on a Sunday night, it wasn't uncommon to have the odd three or four lads coming home from the pub in Joanie's or Morgan's, what they called in, and the odd sandwich would be looked for on a Sunday night, and it would all depend on what type of form my mother was in. I'd say whether sometimes she was in good form, more times she wasn't, but you know, I can remember those times as well, yes.
And that's almost the end of part one of Where the Road Takes Me. In parts two and three, we visit the place where the seeds of Paddy O'Shea's footballing career were sown, and we take a drive around the beautiful Sleigh Head.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, our programme this evening is a tribute to the late Kerry football legend Paddy O'Shea, who died suddenly on December 15th. And I take a look back at a morning spent in his company in his beloved Ardivore.
Half a player arrived in Ventry, surrounded Paddy in the pub. Says Paddy, "I think you're too late, boys. Chef's gone home, there's no more grub." And though they said that's not the reason we came here at all, we've an open checkbook and a pen, and we're here to talk football. "Put that check away," then said O'Shea, "if you want to talk football. That sport is in my blood for years, since I was very small. It's all I think of night and day, from the time I rise from my bed. But to be among the final few takes a lot of hard work," he said.
A song called "Paddy and the Banner" is sung by Ray Scanlon and relating to his time spent as manager of the Clare football team. In 2004, Paddy O'Shea took over the reins of the Westmeath football team. He turned out to be an inspired choice, leading them to their first Leinster Football Championship title. But the seeds for his own footballing talent were being sown in a commonage quite close to his home.
Well, now we're on the bottom of the road here in Ardivore. We're just on the bank of Vint, looking out on Vintry Harbour and looking at Vintry Beach. And then here where we are is a place where it's a commonage. It's a piece of land which is owned by the three or four farmers here in the village. And it is, when I was growing up anyway, it's where the lads, as a pastime, played football. My brothers, and you had Sally Long and Tony O'Shea, Johnny Finton, Cormac Long, who's now down in West Cork in Castletown Bear. Myself and Diana down there, so wish them well tonight. Then afterwards, then when I was maybe around 9 or 10, there was myself and Maurice Finton and Joe Bourne, O'Shea, Vincent Garvey, Alistair Fitz, Sean Kane, all those lads, Mickey Long, Paddy Murphy, Paddy Connor, all those lads that I grew up with, we played football here as well. I suppose that time as well in the school in Kilvickadownick, the very fact that our local teacher, Mick Murphy, and then of course you had Maureen Ganey, Maureen Callaghan, then Maureen Ganey would be mum to Sean Ganey. And as I say, Mick had, from Ventry, played for Kerry in the 50s, played full forward for Kerry in 55. So obviously from that point of view, football was very topical in the school as well, and as a result of that, John, we played quite a lot of it, and this was our training ground here.
Right. How determined were you to make it in football? Were you determined at a young age that one day that you would play for Kerry?
Yeah, I'd say it has the ambition of any young boy growing up in this county. I'd say it's just that football in this county is something else, and it means so much to so many people. I suppose, all right, that in modern times now, in the present time, there are other areas like that, other games, soccer, rugby. It's pointless saying that they're not having an effect. I believe that they are. Then, though, that there weren't such sides, that there weren't any other pastimes then other than football. So it was easier then, really, I suppose, John.
Did you practice a lot on your own?
Oh, I did. I did, and even when I got on the Kerry team, I you can see there Vintry Beach, the beautiful sandy beach there in the background. I mean, I really worked hard on the beach, in the hard sand and the soft sand. And then if you can look right up the hill there, at Slievenuller and the lake Slievenuller in down there, and I did an awful lot of training there, just going up the hill and getting over the hill to the far side, which brings you into Dunkeen and running around by the road. That was my stamina training that I did. I really found it great and healthy as well. And I found it much more beneficial to me, you know, I found it much easier and more enjoyable than actually when I was in the Guards, when I was a member of the Garda Síochán and domiciled in Limerick. Around that time, we did have the Physical Education College with all the modern availabilities of training techniques available to me, but I chose not to avail of them. I found that ploughing the furrows of Slievenoller and the mountains and running on fine, fresh air here in Vintry, I was much happier doing that.
Was there a lot of pride in the area the day you donned the Kerry jersey for the first time?
Ah, there was, but then again, I mean, there were players who played for Kerry from the parish before. I mean, my first cousin Tom Long, and as I already mentioned, Mick Murphy, and then from the immediate village you had Bat Garvey, the late Bat Garvey, from just up the road. Bat was a great footballer and a player that was supposed to have invented the solo run, or possibly, if he didn't invent it, he certainly brought it to a very high art. And of course then maybe he was a little bit older than me, John Long from Fawn, a great colleges player.
And when you leave this area, when you go to London or New York or Dublin or wherever you go, do you always look forward to and enjoy coming back?
Ah, you do. Well, I can tell you, I have to be honest with you, there are days too here where you can become extremely depressed from looking at a few gullies and magpies flying over the church in Vintry. I'd be delighted to be press the magic wand and finish up in the middle of Times Square or somewhere. There's no doubt about that. I go up in the middle of O'Connell Street.
Oh, the drive round Sleahan, it sure is a treat on a fine sunny day. All the tourists you'll meet, the views from the cliff tops will inspire your mind, and the people so helpful, so friendly and kind. Round Sleahan we drive today, stopping here and there on our way. The little shot lane on Tiventry Strand, then back to Paddy's to shake his hand. The little beehive huts we see along the way, Mount Brandon so tall, looking out o'er the bay. Rest for a while on the little stone wall, watch the waves far below, hear the young seagulls call. Round Sleahan, just you and me, with every bend there's a new scenery. Stop at the grotto and park the car, there be the Blashkill most famous by far. Just you and me, with every bend there's a new scenery. Stop at the grotto and park the car, there be the Blashkill most famous by far. Driving round Sleahan we'll go, taking it steady, just drive nice and slow. Viewing the lovely southwest coast line, then on to Crozier's and taking our time. Then on to Crozier's and taking our time.
That's a song called Round Sleahan on a Sunny Day. Well, Round Sleahan on any day, a treat awaits you. And Paddy O'Shea obviously agrees.
That's right, John. We're just after coming up the short route from Ardvoher to Dunquin. With the Dunquin, we're after coming up the road called the Unclosach, and we're actually located now, positioned here in the top of the Closach, and we have a beautiful view of Dunquin, and in the background then we can see a beautiful picturesque Great Blasket, and it's just about clearing a little bit of maybe a little bit of fog on top of it, but it will be clearing shortly. This particular road, John, is normally used for people from Dunquin on their way to Dingle. But where we are actually stopped at the moment now is where the islanders who immigrated to America or to England, they got their last glimpse at the Great Blasket before coming over the hill and then into the parish of the jurisdiction of Vintry. So this particular position here in Dunquin now, it was probably a very lonely time for the islanders and whoever was immigrating from Dunquin and the islands, because that it was their last glimpse of the parish and their last glimpse of the islands.
So for people who aren't familiar with the area, what exactly can we see from here in the background, especially over there to the right?
Over there to the right is the Farmarov, the sleeping monk, as they call him, and then obviously directly in front of us we have the Great Blasket, and a little bit to the left then a little bit further out we have Inishkilan. We don't actually see it here now from the Closach at the moment. We'll get a view of that as we go down further.
Okay. Did you travel this road quite a lot as a young fella?
Well, I did indeed, because I did have the lease in the famous hostelry Crugers for a period of time before I got my own place up and going in Vintry. I must say that the parish of Dunquin is a very dear to me and all the people back there, and especially the islanders. A lot of them are dead now, but when I did leave the Garda Síochána in the late 70s, this was my first stop after there, and it was 4 or 5 great years I had back here that I will never forget.
It must have been very sad for people emigrating to the United States or even to England to take one last look of what is a beautiful scene.
That's right. Well, I suppose today now we have an advantage today, John, in that it's a absolutely beautiful morning this morning now here in Vintry and here on the top of the Closach. It's absolutely beautiful, but you can imagine yourself somebody, people who are so attached to their own community, and especially islanders, I suppose, that they were so knitted tightly together, and you know, that it was, my God, it was something really, something enormous in somebody's life, that they were just getting the last glimpse, not knowing, ever knowing if they would ever see the home patch again.
Regardless of how beautiful the area is, there is one area that brings back sad memories to Paddy.
We're actually stopped here at a location which Carrigagiria, and Carrigagiria is where my late good friend Diarmuid O'Sullivan met his fate after the Gaeltacht winning the West Kerry Championship, and Diarmuid's car went off the road here, and every time I drive over to the Closach, I think of Diarmuid, and I think of especially this location. Diarmuid, John, was one of my closest friends for a long period while he was with us here in West Kerry. Diarmuid worked, as you know, in Radio on the Gaeltacht. His background would have been singing. And Diarmuid, I think the very fact that Diarmuid lived in Dunquin and worked in Radio on the Gaeltacht, Diarmuid was responsible for many great musical evenings and musical times here while he was with us in Corcovina, and he's still very sadly missed.
And that's part two of our programme, A Tribute to Paddy O'Shea. In part three, we continue our journey around Slayhead, and remember when Robert Mitchum came to town.
Drive nice and show, viewing the lovely southwest coastline. Then on to Crugers and taking our time. Then on to Crugers and taking our time.
This evening on Where the Road Takes Me, I look back on a pleasant spring morning spent in the company of Kerry football legend, the late Paddy O'Shea. Welcome back to Part 3. Well, back in 1969, the area was buzzing here when it was chosen for the filming of Ryan's Daughter, which starred Robert Mitchum.
That's right, that's where the village was located, and 1968, I suppose, the first beginnings of research and all the work commenced then in 1969, and filming started in 69-70. So, I mean, Ryan's Daughter was possibly the first major tourist kind of that put West Kerry really on the map, and it's still West Kerry is still remembered. Ryan's Daughter, you know, is still associated with West Kerry, and it still has this great drawing power. So many people to this present day will be asking you, where was Ryan's Daughter filmed? Where did it all happen? So we're looking at the actual location there, on, in the distance there. That's where the village was set up, and looking right down and again on top of the Blasket Islands.
You were pretty young, of course, when that was being filmed. But what do you remember about it? Was there a big buzz in the area?
Oh, there was a big buzz, and obviously I remember in 1968-69 doing the shop inventory Monday mornings before going to school in Dingle, you'd have all of the film stars, you know, chauffeur driven, a lot of them by some cars that Sean Warren especially purchased for the likes of Sarah Miles and John Mills and Robert Mitchum, all of the stars, and you know, all of the backup and all of the people that worked on it. I mean, so many people from all over West Kerry were working there, and you know, there are so many great stories. You know, again, it was a time that I would have loved to have been, for the couple of years, to have been 17 or 18 years of age, because I believe the amount of crack that was around the area at the time was unbelievable altogether.
And I suppose it was a big thing for the local people, you know, watching out for the actors and the actresses to spot them.
That's right. I remember on lots of mornings that Robert Mitchum wouldn't be driven to the location. Often Monday mornings he would drive in his own Porsche and pop into the shop for bottles of Lucozade. Never realised then what the Lucozade was needed for on Monday mornings, but I know now.
We're currently on a drive around the very beautiful Sleigh Head, and around one corner we encountered a beautiful view, the ferry making its way through calm, clear waters towards the Blaskets.
Well, we're here in Barra na Halle, they call it, at the top of the pier here in Dunqueen. We have a bird's eye view now of the ferry. Take it. Great. I'm not Sue.
Today, beautiful day.
Beautiful day. That's just Sue there. She's touting people to go to the island. But as we see it there now, we can see the Blasket, one of the ferries going across. Beautiful day for boating. The sea is reasonably calm now today, and going across there doesn't be normally calm, John. But we have a beautiful view of Trawvaughan there. That's the beach in the Great Blasket. You can see it there in the distance today. The sun is shining beautifully down on top of it. From my experience, it's the cleanest swimming beach that I've ever swam in, and also the sand is extremely clean and beautiful, and we have a beautiful view of it there in the distance today, and also in the back there of the Great Blasket. Now we have a good view of Inishvikilan, and this area here now that's over there towards the right was the Barra na Halle again. That was the landing spot where Charlie made really famous. I remember being in Cruisers, when was it, in 1980 79 80, you know, and we'd regularly hear the chopper going in and back, over and back, you know, when he was taking stuff over to build his house on the island. And God, it was like Hollywood, working in Cruisers and helicopters flying overhead during the summer. We often told the tourists that was a regular. We never told them all the time it was Charlie. We always told them to different other people that were arriving. They didn't know which.
And was it soon after that you became friends with him?
It was during that period that I became really friendly with him, you know. Yeah, we had some great times in the island, and you know, the landing spot here, and I often, when I was in Cruisers, collected him here off of the chopper, and we went to Cruisers, and afterwards then, you know, when I got my own place going in Ventry, then he would land directly in Ventry.
something to tell you about this old Boron. I'll tell you right now if you listen to me. There was music in our house since I was a baby, a small little garçon on my mother's knee. My father, God rest him, would play the melodeon while my brothers and sisters would join in and sing. And my mother would sit by the fire with the baby, was me on her knee and I take it all in. Now as I grow up, I was fond of the music. I learned all accordion and tin whistle too. And when we would gather for a session of music, we would all keep in time with the sole of our shoe. But one thing was missing, and that was a bowron, the skin of a goat now that beats out the tune. But sure, I was determined to get one and play it, so off I did go and said I'd be back soon. The mountains of Kerry I went for to get him, the jingle pocket famous worldwide o'er. And I knew that his skin would lash me for long years. He's as tough now, I tell you, as any steel door. But I had to leave Ireland the day that I killed him. The whole town of Jingle chased me to the boat. They were bawling and screeching at me from the quayside the day that I murdered the Jingle Pock goat. I've been baiting him now since the day that I killed him, with no horns or tail, he's lovely and rowan. But because of his history, folks back in Jingle, I'm told they would offer me quite a few pounds. But this Boron I cherish till the day that I die, and over the years he's become part of me. So when I pass away, they can have their Boron back, and I suppose they will make a Boron out of me. But I had to leave Ireland the day that I killed him. The whole town of Jingle chased me to the boat. They were bawling and screeching at me from the quayside the day that I murdered the Jingle Pock goat. The day that I murdered the Jingle Pock goat.
We're driving around Slayhead in an anti-clockwise direction, and just on the Dunquin side of Slayhead, we passed a statue. Paddy told me it was a focal point for him.
It was a focal point for me anyhow when I was doing the running up to Clasoch. We're coming around Slayhead now anti-clockwise. We're coming around from Dunquin side. So we're after completing the Clasoch. We're after passing up before we arrive to the top of the Clasoch. We passed Mike Boland's house in Ballyleague Cross, where famous bone setter from Vintry, and then moved on and came down into Dunquin, and we have visited the Interpretive Centre. We've seen Baron the Halle and the ferry boat leaving for the island, and now we've come around to the cross of Our Lord in Slayhead. And now we're coming, John, to where the little stream crosses the road in Glound Fawn, and right up in top of the hill there is where my grand parents came from my father's side. They would have been Carnies. So we're just about to come on that now, John.
Right. Did you do a lot of running and walking and training around this area? It's ideal for it.
Oh, it is ideal for it, and you know, it is something that I'm hoping to go back at again now. I'm hoping to go back walking. I did a good share of it there a couple of years ago. So I'm hoping in the next few weeks now to get back into it again. And it's great. I have my own type of walk that I take, maybe a couple of days a week, but it's pretty long. You know, it takes about maybe 3 hours to get through It's great, John.
And again, absolutely gorgeous view from where we are at the moment.
Magnificent. People will tell you, and I wouldn't want to be the only person saying me that I might be biased, but I don't think there's anything to beat West Kerry, beat Slayhead on a day like today. You know, I think it's second to none. It's magnificent. And as we're now just approaching the little stream in Slayhead, which is remembered, you know, it is remembered by everybody. It just crosses the road here, and then you have the Shanaglown. Up on top of the Shanaglown is where my my grandparents came from my father's side.
Right. I remember many a time the difficulty manoeuvring a bus around this corner.
That's right, John. I can certainly say. And can't you imagine if you had a bus coming anti-clockwise? We get an amount of buses during the summer doing the course, and it's difficult enough. It's difficult enough now. I suppose, you know,
right,
going around there can be difficult. Yes.
And you wouldn't get a great greeting if you were doing it anti-clockwise.
No. It's just not possible to meet any other traffic anti-clockwise. But no, people are sensible. I think the bus drivers now that visit West Kerry know that they just have to take one route.
Our final stop or port of call was outside Scolna Shunta Naef Cathleen. This is the final piece in the jigsaw of Paddy O'Shea's favourite places.
St. Cathleen is the patron saint of Ventry, John, and the school obviously was called after St. Cathleen. It's a two-teacher school, actually. One of my classmates, Sean O'Cahan, is principal there with Eileen Neil Owing. It's a great school, has been a great school, and that's where all of my kids went to school, and it's great to see that it's still opened, and, you know, the numbers are quite good as well.
Right. Do you have happy days going there?
I must say that my school days in Kilvigadownig were very happy. You know, it wasn't that far away from home. It was only just a little bit over a mile, John. So school was reasonably close to us. And I used to cycle over and back. Went to safe enough to do that, so it was great. We have just completed the route now of Slayhead and Dunquin. And I think you have noticed that all of the things that have been so dear to me are very, very compact and are very, very close to one another. The beach, the shop, the church, you know, the school. It isn't that far over the hill to Dunquin. So for me, I suppose I nearly have to say that up to this day that they are this is where I'm most happiest, I think, is in Ventry, in my own parish.
And of course, being famous for your football success, you obviously get a lot of football fanatics calling there. Do you mind discussing football with them?
Not in the least. We've had great times, summer period, and, you know, we have been known to talk more about, little bit about politics as well, John, back here.
You had a lot of famous people call there to you as well, of course. You were mentioning earlier on Dolly Parton actually sang for you in there.
She was in the Dingle Peninsula in the early 90s, I think about 91 92. She performed in the pub one night in the company of Seamus Begley and Steve Cooney, and to this day I remember it was a magnificent night, and singing the Coat of Many Colours was a song that she sang, and oh God, it was a great night.
And for me, this was also a great day, spent in the company of a legendary footballer and amazing character. To Paddy O'Shea's wife Maura, daughters Nasa and Shun, and son Padraig Óg, we offer our sympathy on the death of a husband and father, Nive a Lehéd Arish. We hope you enjoyed our tribute to Paddy O'Shea. Another edition of the programme awaits you on Sunday evening next at 7 p.m. John Foote was in sound, and for me, John Green, do take care and do have a good week.